Sorry, it's kind of hot in here. We had some leaking that was happening on Sunday, basically over the weekend. And when we asked management to take a look, they basically shut off our AC for the floor. But we just told them to turn it back on, but it's going to take some time. So hopefully you won't drench in the meantime. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1 to 15. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied in you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time during or after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for Peter's writing, Lord. And we thank you, God, that for this apostle's final book, Lord, in which he writes to remind those, God, that believe in you, God, to continue in their search for you. And so this morning, God, help us, Lord, to Lord, just convict us in your spirit. Help us, God, to run after you, Lord, not to be complacent, Lord. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2 Peter, as I was saying when I was praying, was the last book or the last writing that Peter writes. And so he writes a number of books, but the first one he wrote basically 3 years prior to 2 Peter. And at the time, he was writing it because, if you guys remember, Emperor Nero was coming in, and he basically started persecuting Christians to a strong extent. And the first letter of Peter really was written to Christians, reminding them, and one, to be faithful, but two, to encourage them to continue in their walk despite the difficulty that they were going through. Now, the second letter, and the purpose of the second letter, was a little bit different. The first one, while they were going through persecution, it was difficult, and so he said he encouraged them to continue in their walk. The second letter was actually to address some of the issues that started happening in the church after they had been encouraged. And so what happened was 2 Peter addresses mainly two things. We're not going to talk about the second one. The second one is talking about false teachers and prophecies. And we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But the first thing that Peter was really addressing in this letter was the idea of complacency and the idea of being stagnant. If we were to read verses 5 all the way to 15 again, we won't do that. But this is actually known. I mean, if you were to ask most professors or most people to give you a chunk of scripture that talk about spiritual formations or the need for us as Christians to continue to grow, most people will quote you 2 Peter 5 all the way to, or 5 to 6, maybe 5 to 15. And the reason is because this is known as the scriptures of spiritual formation, the need for Christians to grow in their faith. Now, the NASB version is a little bit harder to understand, and so the NIV version, if you believe it or not, is actually a little bit easier in this way, and so I'll read it for you very quickly, and this is verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. Okay? And so really the idea of what Peter is writing, I know it's, you know, he was saying applying all diligence in your faith. The NIV version puts it a little better. He's basically saying to Christians, make every effort. Do everything that you can to grow your faith. Make every effort you can to move into faith. Make every effort you can to understand God better. Okay? Now, the Greek, when we look at verses 5 to 6, it's not just one word, but the entire sentence, the way it's written, it's not just saying, oh, add to your faith, grow in it. There's actually the Greek grammar actually really has this understanding of make haste. Like, do it quickly. Like, do it with zeal, do it with perseverance, do it in such a way that you're actually making an effort to do it and not just allowing circumstance or just not just sitting there and kind of letting it happen. And so if we were to actually understand that, basically what it's really saying is, to mature as Christians, what really Peter is saying is, we need to move away from circumstantial growth to actually self-seeking growth. And basically what I mean by that is the idea that instead of just kind of, you know, sometimes as Christians, we obviously God's the one that does it, right? There's nothing we can do. He's the one that helps us grow. He brings us understanding through the Holy Spirit. We know this, but it's not enough just to sit and to say, you know what? If God wants me to learn, he's going to do it anyway. Right? The idea that Peter is saying and what he's really trying to convey is what we should really be doing is going after it. Right? You know how Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he'll say, you know, seek earnestly the gifts. And I know he's talking about spiritual gifts, but it's the same idea. It's the idea that it's not enough for us just to sit there and say, oh, you know, if God wants me to have a gift, oh, he'll give it to me. Right? If God tells us in the scriptures that as Christians we should move in the gifts, then we really should be seeking after the gifts. That's why Paul tells us, pray diligently that God will give them to you. Right? Not just to sit and to say, oh yeah, okay, it's going to happen, but to go after it. Right? And so in our modern day, what I'm talking about is, you know, go join the river. Right? Go join the well. Go join IP. Seek that God will grow you in these things, because it's not enough simply for us to sit here and to say, Sunday is enough. My personal prayer time is enough. No, we need to grow into these things. Okay? Now, when I was kind of reading after this and I was kind of studying it, because I really have quite a interest in our spiritual formation, there was a famous writer. His name is Kenneth Boa, and I was reading about him, and he's a famous he works with a lot of businessmen, Christian businessmen, especially in New York City. And one of the things he says about spiritual formation is this. He says, our task as Christians is to place ourselves under the conditions favorable to growth and to look upon God for our spiritual formation. And so basically, what he's saying is, as he works with businessmen, as he works with people who are in the secular world, Christians in the secular world, his advice to them is actually, yes, you should look for wisdom in business and how you should do certain things, but his advice often to them is, you should instead not just do what the world does and whatnot. His advice to these people is, you should put yourself into a situation where you need God to come through for your business. You should, right? And obviously not to do it frivolously, as in like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want and God's going to come through. But through prayer and through asking and trying to understand what you should do, when you kind of see what God's leading you into, is to walk into a condition that requires faith. Right? Not just because it's easy, not just because this is what's going to make your business work in your mind, but because it requires for God to come through for you. Now, I want to say this very, very carefully, right? I'm not saying that you should always do something just because it's harder. That's not what I'm saying, right? What I'm saying is, what I believe Kenneth Boa is really saying is, pray about your situation, but if God requires something of you that's difficult to what typically people will do, do it, right? Let faith be your guide, not fear, not success, not what other people do, but faith. And see, this is what exactly what Peter is talking about. Making choices to put yourself in a situation to grow rather than just waiting for it to happen, right? And so that's the first thing we can kind of draw from this. And so how can we do it? I mean, that's great. How do we do it? A professor named Robert Mulholland, he's a professor at Asbury Theological Seminary. And the way he says, how can we grow in this? He'll say, there are two essential things that require for us to grow. One is time, and one is obedience. The idea is, great, now we understand we have to add to our moral diligence. We have to actually make effort. How do we do it? We actually have to invest our time. And then not only do we invest our time, once we invest our time and we ask God, we actually have to do it. And so the idea is not just a heart thing, right? And if I was to really summarize verse 5, I would say that what Peter is really talking about here, and also drawing from Professor Mulholland, is that our Christian faith should be more than just a set of beliefs. Right, it's the idea that we should be our Christian faith is not just believing that Jesus died. It's because we believe that Jesus died, there should be some sort of action that takes place. Right, because we believe that He is our Lord and Savior, there should be something that we should be doing in response to it. Now, I know that we teach a lot about, you know, we're human beings, not human doings, but the whole idea is, our being should believe in it so much that our action is a natural response to it. And I mean, my proof text for that would be James, right? The idea that he says in James 2, faith without works is dead, right? He wasn't saying that we need works for salvation, but without works, right? Works being the outward evidence of inward transformation. And so the whole idea is, if we really believe what we really believe, if we truly believe that Christ died for us and all these sort of things, we would naturally be seeking these things anyway, right? Another famous Tim Keller quote that really speaks to this, right, is we have missions because we do not believe, right? We have missions because we do not truly believe. And so it's the idea Tim Keller is talking about is, if we truly believe that God was really God and He really died for us, we wouldn't need things like mission trips. Because our lives would naturally exude that sort of lifestyle, right? The idea that if we really believe God died for us, everything we did, right, whether our work, how we speak to people in our workplace, how we speak to our family, all these sort of things will be one of natural evangelism. You know what I'm trying to say, right? It's this idea that things would just flow out of us because we believed. Now, how can we get to that place, right? Again, we just need to continue to work, right? To move into growth and wanting to grow. Now, one of the things that I'll touch on quickly, and it's verse 8, is I do have time. I'll do it. Two things. I'll do it very quickly. Is we notice that in verse 6 to 7, Peter talks about, first it talks about ourselves. We need to grow in our knowledge, our self-control, and our perseverance, all these sort of things. And then verse 7, it talks about your godliness, brotherly kindness and love. One of the things I think Peter talks about is, as we mature in our spiritual formations, one of the things that we should notice more and more is that our faith turns from an inward thing to an outward thing. And what I mean is, it moves from simply talking about how I should grow to how we can love other people. Okay, so something just really short. And so, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. If the majority of our prayer lives and the majority of our actions really has to do with ourselves, I think we need to grow a little bit and to mature a little bit, right? And to start moving in a way in which we're moving and really living out our Christian lives to love each other and other people. And that really, that's how we know we're maturing, right? When we stop just praying about ourselves. I mean, obviously we need to continue to pray for ourselves, but how much time do we spend on us versus other people? Okay, just a quick thing. And in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge, true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that I really felt like, you know, Holy Spirit was really bringing out to me, and really what Peter is saying, if we look at the word, is it's the word increasing. For if these qualities of yours are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful. And so what Peter really is saying is this, right? There's no such thing as plateauing, right? In faith, there's no such thing as plateauing, right? Either you are growing or you are dying, right? Either we are growing, we're moving towards growing into the image of Christ, or we're actually falling back down. And so we need to be very careful in this way, right? Let's continue to move forward. Let's continue to seek the Lord and continue to move towards what it is that he's called us to. And so let's close our eyes as I ask Pastor Andrew to come up. Okay. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us in this way. What is our Christian life mostly about? What do we spend most of our time thinking about? Do we often find ourselves just praying for us? Do we often find ourselves simply just worrying about the things that matter to our own life? Or do we pray for the things that are on God's heart? Do we pray for his kingdom? Do we pray for the church? Do we pray for how it is that we can live the life that called us to? And so this is not meant for to be condemning in any way, but I think the scriptures in this sense is quite clear. And especially for us who've been in, you know, I think it's important for those of us who've been in the church for a long time, right? Are we moving forward? Or have we kind of just stagnated? And remember, Peter says stagnation is spiritual death. And so just let the Holy Spirit speak to you in this way. Maybe we need to mature. Maybe we need to start seeking God again and putting us and ourselves in a position where we need to grow. And so let's pray. Let's respond to God.
So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your heart is falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your heart, this heart is living for. Hungry I come to for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait. Offering all of me, Jesus, your honest heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering. Jesus, your all this heart is living for. Jesus, your all this heart is living for.
As Pastor Andrew was singing, I was reminded of John chapter 1, verse 46. And just to give you some context, this is when Jesus first reveals himself. And before he calls his disciples, and this is after Philip finds him, he goes back and he tells his friends and his brothers. Philip found, this is verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And I felt like what God was saying was, I feel like he's extending an invitation to us this morning. And one of the revelations that I was kind of having when I was sitting there, maybe not revelation, but the idea is that I don't think any of us, no, none of us, nobody wants to stagnate. Nobody wants to not seek God. Nobody wants to not be with him. But I think sometimes what happens is the things of the world kind of takes over a little bit. And we get a little worried. We get a little worried about our futures. We get a little bit worried about what's going to happen to us, about our families, about, you know, whatever it is. And then the distractions just kind of take our eyes off God momentarily. And I felt like God just wanted to invite us this morning. Right, come and see that I'm good. Come and see. Give me whatever it is that worries you. so that you can seek me and grow. Whatever it is that's keeping you or that worries you so much, that's taking all of your attention, come and see. I'm going to take care of you. And so let's take a few minutes just to keep praying. If there's anything this morning that maybe is basically taking over your life, your attention, your thoughts, your mind, your prayers, because it's difficult or whatever the case is, let's submit it to Jesus. Let's allow him to work in our way, our lives in this way. And really, we're applying 2 Peter, right? Making every effort to grow our faith. Let's pray. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those in our community suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really lift them up. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for his providence and comfort and peace and just for his spirit to touch them. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing and salvation. Let's pray for God's hand over them as well, and that he'll ease and heal their suffering. But let's also pray that God will just reveal his son to them, that they'll have dreams and visions, undeniable that Jesus is the Lord. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for those in need of healing from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing over them as well. Let's just pray for his peace and comfort and providence. pray for those in our community in need of work as well. Let's pray that God's favor will fall on them. Let's pray that as they wait, that they'll prepare themselves for whatever mission field that God's called them to, and that God will provide all their needs. And so, let's lift them up. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for really just a blessing over the city, and let's seek its welfare so that in its welfare we'll also be blessed. Let's also pray for the government. Let's pray for the wealth gap, revival in this place. Let's pray for the churches. Let's pray for SSI, Ashanti, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, and all the Hong Kong students as well. Let's pray for God's spirit just to fall onto Hong Kong, and that many will get to know Him. Please lift up the staff. If you can pray for Peace Sam and Ken and also Ashley and Tim as they're all traveling. If you can please pray for just covering over them, pray for the logistics, and just pray for travel mercies. Peace Sam will be back this week, and also Peace Kenny as well. And so if you can please lift them up, pray that they'll rest well, and that their kids will adjust back well with all the jet lag and all that kind of stuff. And so... Let's lift up the hospitality teams. Let's pray for Welcoming and Barista. Let's pray for P. Andrew and Ashley, and also everyone who serves in those ministries. Let's really pray for God's encouragement to fall on them. It's not an easy service. A lot of times, they get ignored and whatnot, but let's really pray that they'll have so much joy in serving and loving people. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for our worship and sound teams and our AV teams. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for all the worship teams. And let's really pray that they're going to have a heart of worship and that they'll serve with excellence. Let's also pray that as they lead us, that they'll be leading us into worship out of their own personal heart of worship to God. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for covering over them and protection. And let's just pray for blessing. Lastly, let's pray for SPLI. Let's pray for leading worship in small groups and go deeper with our P-Nate and Caitlin. Let's really pray that they're going to have such a fun time just preparing and that it won't be too much work. But let's also pray for those taking the classes that they're going to be able to learn about both worship and just being able to hear from God as they do art and minister in their spirit. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Peter's reminder, God, that our walk and our relationship with you, Lord, requires, you know, not just that we kind of walk through life, Lord, but that we make an effort, Lord, in seeking you. And so, Father, help us, God, to remind us today, Lord, that, you know, throughout any day, God, any given day, that there are many choices that we need to make, God. Help us to always make the choice that requires faith. Lord, help us to make the choice, God, that puts us closer to you. And so, Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I just want to lift them up, God, and all my friends that are here today. I pray for a blessing over them. I pray, God, will you grant them favor, Lord, in their workplaces, God. Lord, grant them a voice, God, and grant them just opportunity, Lord, to really be a witness for you. And God, I pray for a blessing of their work. I pray, God, bless the works of their hands, God. Lord, and whatever it is that brings them worry, God, whatever it is that maybe distracts them, God, and takes their attention, God, off of the relationship with you. I pray, Lord, will you help them in it, Lord? Will you remove the yoke, God, and just remove the burden as well? Lord, help each and every single one of them, Lord, see you in all that they do. And so, Father, we thank you, God. We just want to bless you this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good morning. Enjoy your time of prayer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.